Elizabeth Elliot says, "It takes a steadfast heart to allow the Lord to let His will be done in us. But I want that kind of heart. I want His will with all my heart." Elizabeth adds, "I say it to Him over and over. Lord, do anything you want with me, at any cost. Work your will in me." Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Music of His Promises, Listening to God with Love, Trust, and Obedience. As you seek a closer walk with Jesus Christ, thank you for joining us for another challenge from Elizabeth Elliot.
The Lord Jesus said, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you again today about confidence in God. Do you believe that God loves you? Do you love him? If you love him, you will obey his teaching. You have to have confidence in someone before you obey them, right? If you're taking a scuba diving course or entering into a dieting program, you're not going to obey the instructions unless you have confidence in the instructor. And the Lord says that if we love him, we will obey his teaching, and then the marvelous reward is that he will come to us. He says, "My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." Faith is often a vague, wispy sort of a word with very little practical effect in our Christian lives. When you hear someone say, "Well, you know, she's a woman that has a lot of faith," what do you think they usually mean by that? She goes to church a lot. She prays a lot. She talks a lot about God. Well, as the old spiritual says, everybody talking about heaven ain't going there. Faith is proved most realistically by obedience. It's no good saying you believe that the scuba diving instructor is telling you the truth unless you do what he says. And that's exactly what we talk about all the time on this program. It's trust and obey, trust and obey, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. My series last week and this week is on confidence in God, a much more robust and sinewy and hard-working word than faith. Faith is a good word, but faith has become such a weak word in many people's minds. So confidence is a more robust word, it seems to me. Confidence is a state of feeling sure. The Apostle Paul said, "I know whom I have believed, and I am absolutely sure that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him." Assurance, certitude, a state of trust or intimacy. Confidence is the opposite of timidity and distrust. Here's a great verse to strengthen your confidence, Deuteronomy 32:4. "He is the rock, his works are perfect, and all his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong, upright and just is he." Why don't you just write that down on a little card and stick it up on your bathroom mirror or someplace where you're bound to see it? Deuteronomy 32:4. "He is the rock, his works are perfect, and all his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong, upright and just is he." People very often ask me if I was angry at God because God took away two husbands, one by murder and one by cancer. I think I can honestly say that I have never had feelings of anger against God because I really believe what this verse says. He is a faithful God who does no wrong. I don't need to understand what he does or what he allows to be done. Upright and just is he. I know the fact. And then there's the beautiful story in the book of Mark, chapter 4, a story that's very familiar to many of you, I'm sure, but it is a story of how to put our confidence in God. Jesus went with his disciples in a little boat. He had been preaching to the people, and when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was, in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. Imagine, in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Now remember, Jesus is talking to the disciples. These are people who had walked with him and talked with him and been taught by him, heard him preach, had the opportunity day after day, night after night, keenly to observe the character of this man. And here they are saying, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." I'm just as slow as the disciples were to comprehend that there is no reason to worry. When you're in a boat and there is physical danger, there are human necessities, there are possibilities of awful things happening. But if Jesus is in that boat, it changes the whole picture, doesn't it? In Matthew 6, verse 31, we read, "Do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Do not worry. Do not worry. We must have confidence in God. God is not denying the need of food and clothing, but he's saying, you have a heavenly Father. Jesus is in the boat. God will help you. We must remember that there are things which we can do that God wants us to do, but God will do for us what we can't do by ourselves, and he wants us to work in cooperation with him. We do what we can do. God does what he can do, and he will strengthen us to do what we need to do, always. When I was a little girl, I had a very hard time with arithmetic. I still have a hard time with arithmetic. I'm glad I have a calculator. But my father was good at it. My mother wasn't very good at it, so if I needed help with my homework, my father would help me. But my father, being a very honest and extremely conscientious man, only helped me. He would never give me the answers. He would explain the process of finding the answer over and over and over again, as many times as I needed it. He did what I couldn't do. He helped me understand the process, but I had to put it into practice. Another illustration, when I traveled many times in the jungle with Indians, over trails and up hills and down ravines and across rivers, sometimes we would come to the worst thing in my mind, which was a log high over a ravine. And we had to walk across that slippery log. There were, of course, no handholds. But the Indian would walk in front of me, and all he would do was just hold my hand, sometimes even just let me touch his hand. Now, he couldn't have helped me. He couldn't have held me up if I had actually slipped off the log. But just the touch of his hand gave me the confidence and the balance that I needed. God is a wonderful counselor for my ignorance. He is the helper of the helpless. Watch out for that pride. Watch out for the insistence that I'm going to do this all by myself. just like a little child who you know can't tie his shoes, but when you go to tie his shoes, pulls his foot away and screams, "I want to do it myself." No, he needs to be taught first. Let's watch out for pride. Look to God for help in everything. Pray about everything. You know how to cook breakfast, but why not just pray that the Lord will help you in everything that you do? Two things which strengthen our confidence in God: looking to Him for help and praying. Recently, I heard the testimony of an amazing Afghan woman by the name of Narjis, and she told how, just as a young girl, she had escaped from India into Bangladesh. And it was a long saga of one country after another, arriving with no money, no contacts, so little to go on, and yet how God led her every step of the way. She only had a New Testament. She had nobody to strengthen her faith. She had no Christian books. She had no Christian radio programs. And yet she knew from reading that little New Testament that God would lead and guide her. How strong is your confidence in God? Is it a certitude, an assurance, a state of trust in your life? Why is it that you're so afraid? Jesus said.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Discipline, The Glad Surrender, and No Graven Image. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.